Bonsoir à toutes et à tous. It's really good to be back. And thank you, friends, for the hospitality, Pastor Andy, for the invitation to share the word tonight. And I want to say a word of personal privilege. It is especially good to see our Sunday school kids, who are not as small kids as when I left. It's good to see you adults, too, but great to see our children. I bring you greetings from Lenoirean University and the Lutheran Theological Southern Seminary, where I'm blessed to be called to serve in full-time theological education. As some of my students will tell you, that begins with asking good questions. And so I want to begin with a question. What is beauty? Share some of the words for either beauty or beautiful in your mother tongues. Any others? These are the words for beauty. But in your culture, what does that mean? What is beauty? What is beautiful? What defines what is beauty? I want you to think about that for just a few seconds. In his dialogue with Hippia, Socrates is recorded to have shared the wisdom that beautiful things are difficult. The Transfiguration appears to be a story of a revelation of beauty on a mountaintop where Christ's face shone, brille, brilliant. I know mountaintops. I'm blessed to have summited peaks here in the Alps, at home in the Appalachian Mountains, and mountains around the world. But because of that, I know the reality of what is called the mysterium tremendum et fascinans, the beauty of the mystery that fascinates us and attracts us, and the beauty of those mysteries that scares us or drives us away. You know how the sight of or on a mountaintop can be overwhelmingly beautiful, or it can terrify you with that sheer and unforgiving reality of natural power. Beautiful things are difficult. I've seen beauty and symmetry and proportion and light and all the things that attract us in this world. And I've seen beauty in defeat and in death and in the margins of the world, where the world tells us that things are ugly or unworthy of honor. So what is this beauty that the disciples see on this mountaintop? What is that glory as the Gospels translate it in English? Well, the Greek word there for glory is doxa. And if you don't know the word Greek, you probably know the word doxology, which is usually praising God, from whom all blessings flow. But the word doxa actually means the essence of the divine, whatever God is. And the only claim in the Bible about what God is, not what God is like, but what God is love. Love is the glory, the beauty of the divine. Love is beauty, and beautiful things are difficult. Sometimes that glory is revealed in epiphanies, stars, and miraculous healing, and shining faces like Moses, so brilliant that you can't look at them directly except through a veil. And sometimes, like Luther said, that glory, that beauty, is hidden under the sign of the opposite, the things that the world tells us are not glorious. In humility, in grace for those who fail or are in need of compassion, in loneliness or in suffering, in darkness, indeed, on the cross. Remember that on this mountain, Moses and Elijah are talking to Jesus about what? About his departure, about his exodon in Greek, literally his exodus on the cross. This tremendous and fascinating mystery here is that the finite, this body and blood of Jesus, contains the infinite. And of course, our problem with mysteries is that as humans, we want to try to solve them instead of simply falling into them with wonder. And while a lot of preachers like to give Peter a hard time for trying to solve a problem and build these booths and hold on to that beauty and that glory, notice that the disciples, on hearing the meaning of this mystery, keep silent. And they don't even say a word. And after encountering this mystery, the beauty of this body of Christ being saturated with the doxa, the glory, the stuff of God, they were compelled after this story to go down off the mountain into a complicated world and engage in the complicated beauty of healing a boy who was grotesquely ill, suffering from disease, to move from that beautiful thing to engage in diaconia, acts of loving service and martyria, public witness to the beauty that they had seen on that mountain and could not unsee, even in the difficult and complicated world around them. This reflection of love in public, Cornel West has said, is justice. Justice is what love looks like in public. That's the stuff of God, the glory of God, on display in public. And that justice is difficult. That beauty of demonstrating love in real life is difficult in a world that doesn't want you to be difficult. Yet we are called to brill, to shine, to be brilliant, not as the world requires, but as the love of God inspires. And we don't have to look far to know that this kind of love in the world has always been complicated. Think of all the movements of justice that have been driven by love, that have been complicated. We can look to Martin Luther King Jr. We can look to Mahatma Gandhi, to Mandela, to Lema Bowie, to a lot of the work that many of you are engaged in justice work around the world. Or maybe we don't have to look quite so far, and only to our relationships, to the difficulties or the complicated nature of trying to love somebody or to be loved by somebody. And when love finds us, that transfigures the whole situation. It renders all things beautiful. It changes everything. And I wonder, have you seen that? I have, and thanks be to God. And friends, in this brilliant, beautiful body of Christ, and here at this table, here the body and blood of Christ shared at the table of justice and peace and the reconciliation of all creation, we get to see this finite contain the infinite, the bread and the wine saturated and shining with the stuff of God, just as Isaiah sings that heaven and earth are full of your glory. We're given here at this table a new vision, a new revelation, a new epiphany to go out into the world and live doxologically, as Jeffrey Wainwright says, not in praise of God, but in the shape of God. Not just in the way that the world says is beautiful, but this difficult beauty to come down from these mountaintops and to engage in the diaconal works of love. And this is complicated, and we are complicated. But friends, this is the good news, because the infinite love reveals itself here. Therefore, we are free to take our exodus from this epiphany and from this place into a complicated world with trust in love to love, no matter where that leads us. So friends, on this little hilltop in Geneva, come, taste and see this transfiguring beauty and be transfigured into this beauty. Go out. Be difficult. Be complicated. Be brilliant. And shine with the glory, the love of God that is love. Amen.